If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Sorry for the late start. I had some nuggets to finish for the family, and they weren't cooking fast enough. Ty Rogerson says, super Grok cooking up those matte nuggets, I hear. Oh, man, no doubt. Super Grok is super powerful. I've been spending so much time all day, all night these days. It's been 3 weeks that I'm basically interacting with Grok Heavy for 12, 14 hours a day. We're so close to resolving conjectures that I've been working on. I am so excited. It's so powerful. And there was a sudden increase of intelligence in Grok about 4 days ago. Because before 4 days ago, there were problems it wasn't able to deal with. And 4 days ago, it was like, yeah, Jeff, send this to me. And it's an absolutely high intelligence machine now, capable of understanding extremely complex math arguments. Plepides says, does Jeff play any instruments? What music do you listen to when locking in? Well, I don't listen to music in my everyday. I don't like the idea of having background music anymore. There was a part of my life where I had the news on all the time in front of the couch. Even if I was not on the couch, I was still letting it play. And there were times where I've listened to music in my life. But I think it's an attention dragger. And if you're serious about what you do, like I like doing math, I like doing parenting, you don't want to have music in the background. You want to enjoy the fullness of your concentration on what you do. And generally, music is kind of a band-aid for your boring life. My life, I have the privilege that it's not boring enough that it deserves any music in it. I don't watch video. I don't even watch movies anymore. I don't watch movies. I don't listen to music anymore. I've done it all. I've heard all of this. Now you ask what kind of music instruments I play. I am a piano player. And yes, I've done piano shows here on TPS and JFG Tonight. Yes, I'm capable of singing and playing piano, but it's been something that I'm less interested in as I age. I think it's mostly a loss of time. And yes, movies do suck now, Gus Grizzle. You're right about this. It's like, okay, I've watched all of the good movies of human culture, and there's all this crap that they now produce, and it's not interesting at all. You can feel the Gen Z crap. You can feel the female director behind the camera, and it sucks. It's real. Movies aren't good anymore. So it's like forms of art that will probably go away. Like the children that are currently being raised of the current generation, they may never know the idea of a movie. Like the idea that it's something, that a movie is coming out, that we're going to the theater. I mean, all of this will disappear, and I used to be sad about it. I'm not sad anymore because it's an art form that has reached its peak, and it's good that it goes away. It's an art form that we want to be doing better. We want to be doing better than what we've done. It's It's a finished art form. YouTube commenter says, Jeff, have you heard of the Rapey Diet? It seems to be exclusively followed by based and beautiful people on X. No, I haven't really heard about it. The Rapey Diet emphasizes whole foods, including fruits, dairy, eggs, and certain meats, while avoiding polyunsaturated fats, processed food, and excessive carbohydrates. It focuses on supporting metabolic health and hormonal balance. Yeah, I think it should be good for most people. Now, if I want to lose weight, I need something more extreme. I need something that totally avoids fruits. And so, yes, it looks like something good for someone who's already equilibrated. But for me, for losing weight, I need Gatorade Zero. I need very, very little amounts of food and absolutely zero sugar and fruits. We have a big donation by Nate Dogg. Let's see.
Greatest Whitest here. Since you're on YouTube, I guess I have to ditch my Rumble name. Haha, I'm liking the new intro.
All right, well, I enjoy that you like the new intro. Greatest Whitest. So Greatest Whitest, I hadn't made the connection to Nate Dogg, so now I know that it's you. Well, you've been supporting the show so generously across the years. I thank you. And yes, I think it's my best intro. AI has allowed us to go further because when I do an intro edit, you know, I can't do a super professional thing, but I think this is as close as it gets to a classical late night show on cable TV, and yet it is per AI slough at the same time. So I think it's a good intro. Gus Grizzle says they originally had O.J. Simpson as the Terminator, the killing machine. Is that true? I don't know how a black Terminator would work with me. I'm sure they'll do one at some point in the future with the Netflix DEI trend, but I wouldn't be able to take it in. A black Terminator, nah, that doesn't work. YouTube commenter says, Repeat is great for weight loss. I am down 20 pounds. Oh, yeah, I'm sure if you're into the not-so-fat category, that can work. But let me tell you, there are a lot of diets out there that you can lose 10, 20 pounds on them. But can you lose 50, 60, 70 pounds on them? That's where it gets really rough. Because, yeah, of course, if you eat disequilibrated, high-calorie meals, losing 10 to 20 pounds is basically losing water calories that's flowing in your blood and tissues, and you've barely really started to dig into the fat reserve. But when you start to dig and really get your body to autophagy, you need more than those stable, equilibrated diets. You're going to need some extreme radical action. Thought Criminal says, Jeff, have you heard of the pianist Kilan Degedhaldi? He plays politically incorrect songs from the 1800s and is quite based. No, never heard about it. Never heard about it. Nate Dogg Revolution says, JF losing weight, and here I am in the middle of my overweight arc. Haha. Well, yeah, I mean, there are times in life like this we care less. And personally, I need a motivator to keep a low weight because I really don't care about being overweight. But if I have a motivator, like I see my health measures are starting to indicate, oh, well, maybe you're going to have liver troubles in 10 years from now. Now, that's a motivator because I want to be alive to bring my children to adulthood. If I want to be on the dating market and I see, oh, overweight doesn't work anymore, we are faced with a new generation of the dating market, and they're not like the 1990s. They are rejecting fat, the new generations. So that's another motivator. Like, if I want to ease my ability to pick up girls, then I find the energy to do it. Because Grizzle says, keto diet when fasting, very easy to lose weight. That's David Smith saying this. Prevents muscle loss. Yeah, I've had massive muscle loss as a result of my diet. Because I was doing a test for my heart, for imaging and all, at the hospital. And they put me on a treadmill, bro. The goal of the treadmill was to bring my heart to 180 BPM, which is exhaustion, you know, it's pretty high. Now, I never get to 180, but what happened is that my heart was capable of going to 180, but my legs were incapable. They were inclinating the treadmill so that it becomes super hard to run. And I was like, oh, I can still do it from a cardio perspective, but my legs are about to break. So I did lose. I have basically atrophy in the legs because I did such an extreme diet and I lost. I'm past 55 pounds. But when you lose 55 pounds, there's some muscle fibers that go with it. And I'm unable to run in these extreme circumstances. But that's okay. I believe that my health has gotten much better. You know, the trade-off, I don't care so much about being a good jogger. I don't care about being able to run and being under intense demand on my physiques. But the weight that I lost did improve massively my health. So it's a trade-off. I'm taking it in full. I'm super happy with it. David Smith says, JF, does your new book feature a burger component? Absolutely. I've been working on the burger component of white people food. For now, I've done a one page of research on how to handle the patty. So I've tested various griddle, flat plate. I've tested various patty shaping techniques. So basically, dimpled patty combined with griddle is the best results I've been having. Generous spicing around the patty. So you'll know how to prepare a good restaurant-grade patty. I've also have the bun section, which I have various recipes for burger buns. How to create a soft, fluffy burger bun. I have my pretzel burger bun, which are amazing. With the baking soda technique to make the outside pretzely. But I've not yet taken it together to give you the perfect burger. And perhaps that's one of the weaknesses I want to work on, because in white people food, there is extensive work on fries. You're going to know how to make the best fries. But it's lacking work in terms of the burger assembly part. So that's probably the next research project I need to get in. We got perfect buns. We got the perfect patties. How do we assemble this professionally? What are the options in terms of, well, going ketchup classic or going more like goat cheese, spinach, all of this thing? So definitely at the end, I want it to be as complete on the burger side as it is on the fries side. Now, the fries side is impeccable. I think it's going to be the best resource for how to fry fries. Because I've discovered things that I could not find answers to for the last 10 years. I've been wondering, how do we make these brown fries from Quebec? How do we get the golden fries from Gordon Ramsay? And it's like, I figured it all. I figured the fry equation. And I figured even more than this. I figured the contour solution. So I've been working on fry outside engineering, where you put substances around the fries to change the dynamics of their surface. And you let this dry for 3 hours before you put it in the fryer. And I know how to make a perfect super brown fries, like golf club type of high luxury fry. with beef broth flavors, chicken broth. I know how to master the pH of the outside of the fry so you get the most golden while introducing chicken broth taste in it. It's unbelievable, the level of advancement of this book on fries. I know what the effects of egg white solutions are on the outside of the fries. You can neutralize the pH of a vinegar if you want a vinegary taste to your outside of the fry, to your fry contour. You can put vinegar, you mix in with egg whites, it gives this super golden surface. You put some chicken broth, you can balance out the acidity, and you get to something that tastes super tasty, but that stays golden. And then I know how to make them brown. I know how to make them brown. And it's all about the pH. It's all about the acidity and the type of fry. Unbelievably extensive. Jason Jones says, how do you lose weight without exercise? Well, in my case, Gatorade Zero, Dapagliflozin, a diabetes medicine, and very little eating. So I succeed at losing weight. Up to now, I've been succeeding without much exercise. But recently, I've had to get into some just small exercise just so I can spend a little more calories, because now I'm at the limit where it's getting very hard to lose more weight just with the diet. Hopefully, with the combination of the exercise, I can get to even more weight loss. Although the weight loss, although it's been slowing the curve, it's still going on. And I've been a little more liberal on, sometimes I go eat a burger and I still lose weight. But it has to be like once a week maximum. I allow myself a burger, but then I fast a lot after. We have some mental cases in the metro. Let's have a look. Bro, it's like there's a terroristic force among the women in our nation. There she is. Just shooting people in her mind. This is what happens when you do the open sky psychiatry. In Canada and the US, we let really dangerous people. I mean, if this person puts their hand on a gun, chances are they're going to use it. Microsoft AI CEO. Well, I don't know if that was a woman. I don't know. The image was blurry, but maybe it was a woman. Maybe it was a trans guy. No idea. Microsoft AI CEO warns most white-collar jobs fully automated within next 12 to 18 months. Anthropic fears potential for heinous crimes. Overwhelming majority of white-collar professional work could vanish to automation. I think there are good things in there. I don't think we should be that much afraid. First, interacting with Grok on the everyday. Grok is powerful. There's no reason why you would need a work from home female manager anymore, because Grok can do all of this. And for now, Grok is conversational and individual, but maybe we can have Grok that would maybe coordinate a team at some point. And maybe they're already offering this on the corporate side. The power of this compared to human beings is so much better. It's going to be so much more efficient. Humans are so wasteful. Like, can you imagine having a female manager that you need to socialize with her at the beginning of the calls, and she always wants to organize these PowerPoint presentations, and, oh, how about we do a PowerPoint presentation? And it's like, okay, everyone must connect to Skype. We're going to spend 1 hour in front of this. We're going to coordinate the team. Grok can do so much better than this already. And it's a new product. So I think it's very good that basically women are going to be kicked out of the work market. And everything that will be left will be much more like the ancient times. What will be left on the work market is actual plumber work, electrician work, the kind of stuff where the robots are not ready to get dirty yet. They're not ready to get into that level of detail and organization. And so, in a way, this will put women back onto the dating market. I think it's a wonderful development. Because as long as these corporations are hiring these massive crowds of women, women think that they have a role. They think that they have an important role in society as a result. And this has to stop. Because the fact is they are just being hired in flocks just to say, oh yeah, we have 10,000 employees and they're all doing these very important things. They're not needed. Grok can do better. Doubting Thomas on Discord says, JF, the reason why the dissidents are getting a position at the table recently, for instance, Fuentes getting platformed, when you look back at the 2024 presidential elections, you see that while Trump received roughly the same total white vote as previously, the most of his gains that were critical was from the minority votes. He actually won the Hispanic men vote. He doubled the black men vote and most notably gained a plural of the Muslim vote in key areas. Combine this with the rise in youth vote, you see a picture of the new Trump voter as a young male minority, likely pro-Palestine, Fuentes fans, and the Republican establishment has been indirectly been allowing more platforming in the podcast circle, easing on previous deplatforming. And Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, could you share your thoughts on a political hypothesis on Discord? Okay, so I just read it. I don't know exactly all of the details to check what you're saying. Is it true twice the black men vote? You have to be careful when you interpret things by male, black male, Hispanic male, because the overall image, let us not forget that the overall image is, as a whole, minorities are extremely Democrat. Now, maybe everything you say is true in terms of the numbers. I'm not challenging them, but I would have to check the details of it. But for your general hypothesis, makes total sense. And I think there's kind of an emerging minority Fuentes alliance, which is why Nick has recently come out on his podcast saying that he rejects, he doesn't feel like a white nationalist anymore. That's what he said. And I think it's totally fair for him. He is a broad audience man. He certainly attracts a lot of minorities in his audience. And yes, they are this kind of alliance between the disempowered white male who has been put aside by society, by the left, and by the woman. And also these minority male who are not in the same plight as the white male. They didn't lose a society, but they have the pre-conservative kind of... They have the conservative, socially conservative philosophy that... where they come from. And so basically they are kind of pre-equipped for the ills of modernity. And yes, your hypothesis makes total sense. There's nothing that I see in there that's wrong. I think it's a correct analysis. And the mainstream may have opened the doors precisely because there's a degree of social conservatism and of willingness to to be hostile to the actions of Israel that probably justified the move. So in a way, the red pill on Israel has been allowed into the mainstream because not so much because of the dissident white male sphere, but perhaps because there is a much broader audience for it. And there is, in the left, it's bizarre because in the left, everyone is pro-Palestine almost. But they all have managed this way of being pro-Palestine that doesn't want to ask the question. To ask the question of Israeli influence in the U.S. And so that opened the door, probably. Probably what Trump is truly doing is exploiting, well, Trump and, say, the conservative mainstream. They're probably trying to keep the door open slightly to this while also being extremely subservient to APAC interests. That's how I see it. I think your hypothesis is correct. Plapides says the lesser of two evils. No more white collar jobs, but somehow the DEI H-1Bs will keep flowing. Yeah, that's a bummer, but I think if the work market can get completely destroyed, I think we might get women back. I think we might get our women back. That would be a beautiful thing. Of course, the conditional to this is that the social welfare must not compensate. If the social welfare compensates and we start having UBI, and it's all pre-designed for the woman lifestyle, this UBI thing, then we won't have the edge. We have to find a way to get women out of the workplace. Simple as, they're not going to reproduce as long as they are given this delusion that they're participating to something great by being in the corporate world. American colleges received $5.2 billion in foreign funding in 2025, Education Department reveals. Oh yeah, man, universities, it's like, they're receiving these piles of cash and they are private entities, so the government often doesn't know about it, and they fund their own researchers and their own people joining labs. I've been seeing it. Now, it's not a big problem if it was understood. But it's very poorly understood, and there's very little checks on this. And it leads these universities to be centers of attraction. You have Chinese students being constantly flown into labs. They learn these techniques. They bring it back to China. It's a big mess. And no one knows what will happen with all of this. Like, well, I know. I know what will happen with all of this. The Chinese are going to take all of our genetic... they're going to take all of our genetic technology and they're going to do something really stupid with it, okay? This is what's going to happen. And they're not going to be ashamed ethically about it. It's going to be, isn't it better? You know how the Chinese, they always want to improve the world and they have this naive outlook on everything. The problem is we're teaching to young Chinese postdoc right now everything they need to know on how to make genetic modifications. They're bringing that knowledge back to China without the wisdom of the theory of evolution. So you basically have, these days, you have biomedical students that are completely unaware of the theory of evolution, but they can use CRISPR. They know how to catalog genes and they know how to do bio computations, but they have no clue about the theory of evolution. So they don't understand what they're going to be playing with. Huge problem. Huge problem that the favoring by the state of useful research, useful for people's health, it has led to the development of a culture within high degree postdoc biology culture of people who don't even know biology. They know DNA, they know proteins, they know all of the molecular biology at play, but they don't know evolution. And that is so grave, because now they have the weapon to create the revolutionary phenotype, but they don't have the knowledge to know why it's wrong. It's exactly like in Jurassic Park. Like, it's literally what Jeff Goldblum was telling them in Jurassic Park. You did all of this because you could, but you never stopped to think whether you should. Jackie Chan says, Jeff, I can't even talk to women at restaurants because they have earpieces listening to music. Yeah, it's you want to check with eyesight, give them an opportunity to make eye contact with you, but don't try to disrupt them if they're doing something else or listening to music. That's their way of signaling, I'm not available. So yes, you do. You want to, if they look at you and they smile and they say hi once they're listening to their music, then that's a sign that they're open. But you don't want to lose your time on disrupting random women who are sending out moral signals saying, I'm busy, I'm not interested. It's very rarely going to work. So you want to work on those who respond to eye contact and to an approach. Jackie Chan sends $20 by super chat. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, I debated a friend on how to selectively breed a certain trait in a clan or tribe. He argued you have to exile people without the trait at all. I argued you should give resources to people that do have the trait. Who is right? Well, none of you, probably. First, the idea that resources help reproduction may be false in many circumstances. So look at our society. We are the society that gives the most resources to human beings ever. So it's not like resources equal reproduction. That is true in a world where resources are the bottleneck. But it's not true in our world, and it may not be true in the world you think about. Never forget that resources at this point are an anti-natalist force. The richer the woman, the more deluded they become. You know, women who are well off, they will go into 40, 50 years old, thinking, oh, I can still have babies. I just didn't find the right guy. It's like, when you're at the poverty level, woman, they know that they should have babies around 20 years old or worse, 30 years old. They're not going to see themselves as having babies at 50. That is a luxury of the mind. That is a delusion. It's not true. It's not going to work, and it is purely cultivated by the extra resources that they have. So first and foremost, I reject the idea that giving resources to people is a way to be natalist. It makes sense. The link between resource and reproduction makes sense. When resources are rare, and the resources are acquired by a male. Now, this male attracts women who need those resources. Now you get a good recipe for reproduction and for meritocracy. But giving resources has never favored breeding. Or if it does, it favors the wrong kind of breeding. You've just created a world of social welfare. Who are you stealing these resources from? And when you're stealing them from the men, from the productive men of society, you are actually, for every baby you program, you obtain through your program of giving resources, you've just disabled the man from being able to attract his own woman through his resource gathering capabilities. So you're wrong. Now, exiling people without the trait. The thing is, all of these human interventions, that's why I'm ultimately not a eugenicist or a eugenist. It's because all of these human interventions are vain. Okay, you want a trait in society, so you're going to exclude people who don't have that trait from your society. Okay? But there was a reason why these people were there. There was a niche in your society that for surviving without that trait. What do you think is going to happen? Okay, for 100 years, you're going to have the people with the desired trait that you want. But the niche is going to be reoccupied, if not from the outside people coming back in, from inside your own genetic lines. So you can artificially decide, oh, I'm going to have everyone will be blonde. I'm just going to kick out everyone with brown hair, and I'm going to have everyone blonde. But you're going to have just limited effects over evolutionary times with this. You're going to have effects on human history, but you're probably not going to have much effect on human evolution. So I reject both things, and I reject the idea of managing the evolution of your clan or tribe. This is a bad idea. It's always a bad idea, and it's always going to be fought by nature. I believe in understanding the evolutionary direction of your tribe or clan, understanding it so that you know generally where it's at, and you know how to not take action that will mess with it. But I don't think it's a good idea to want to modify traits, and anything you could do in your human capacity is all going to be overridden by the long history of evolution. You can do nothing. You can do nothing as a politician, as a leader, as a individual. Like, I'm so annoyed at this reminds me of one of my exes who wanted to change the world, you know. And it's like, you're not going to change the world. You are a little grain of sand in a long evolutionary history. Even if you were to convince everyone alive of something, it would only be a dent in the evolutionary history. The evolutionary history follows its course. And most of the time, most of the things that you could think that makes me better, that makes the world better, you're probably making it worse. You just don't understand. For example, when you say, I want to distribute resources, well, you just stole those resources from someone. You just deprived him of being able to produce good offspring with his genes that were generating resources. That's why welfare never works. I'm so annoyed because it's such a mathematical truth. Undeniable. And I had to spend 15 years trying to explain it to the general public. And even you, and I respect you, Jackie Chan, you know, I'm not saying this to insult you, but even you in my audience, my crowd, you still don't get it, do you? You still don't get it. Thank you for the donation, but man, how do we educate people on this? They don't want to hear the truth. They're equipped to think of all these ways in which they could manipulate the world. You don't have the strength. You don't have what it takes. You would need omniscience, omnipotence, over millions of years to know what you're doing. Plapidas says, JF, thoughts on the sort by controversial article? I don't know. What is that? Sort by controversial article. I think I've heard this title. Is it the less wrong? No. I don't know what it means. You're going to have to... Reddit as a feature where you can sort posts by controversial. Okay. I don't know what that were. You're going to have to point to me the resource. I don't know. I think there's a recent article that's been written with this title. I don't remember what it talks about. I think I may have seen it. Confirmed. U.S. sent covertly thousands of Starlink terminals into Iran amid unrest. The Trump administration has confirmed what was already long suspected. The U.S. sent Iranian protesters thousands of Starlink terminals. Man, I hate when they use the Elon Musk technology for societal subversion. What a bad idea. What a bad idea. What a bad thing to be associated with for Elon's. Elon is very innovative in so many ways. And with Grok, he's been developing something absolutely exceptional. But to be serving evil interests of societal penetration against their sovereign rights, that is just dirty warmongering. And it's too bad. Jackie Chan says, in the Dune novels, I think they do have a time frame of millions of years when doing the breathing program. Yeah, well, try to maintain anything on this earth for more than 20 years. Undoable. Raven Cafe says, hey, JF, what's the last thing you did for the first time? The last thing I did for the first time. Something that I did for the first time. There's something like this that happened a few months ago. But I was like, oh, that's a first. For the first time in my life, well, I've commented on this. I said it on the show. I said, oh, that had never happened before in my life. But I can't quite remember what it is. I've done nuclear medicine recently. Nuclear medicine imaging of my heart. I've done this for the first time. Yeah, that's where they made me run on a treadmill, because they need to exert your heart. Yeah, the goal of the imaging was just to take pictures of my heart with a nuclear, radioactive substance in it, so that it glows, and to see the circulation and the valves and everything working good. So yeah, that's probably the last thing I've done for the first time. I've done this about maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had never done a nuclear imaging. The nurse had her metal protected syringe. It all came in a lead protected container, like it's radioactive and all. She injected this in me, and my heart was glowing on the what's the name of this machine? CT scan, probably, or radioactive, radio imaging kind of device. And it takes about 17 minutes for the whole rotation of the machine, so that it takes pictures of your heart at all of the angles. And then it recreates a 3D, a 3D image of your heart with the beats, because it's synchronized to the EKG. So the machine knows I'm taking a picture at the moment where that beat happens, so it can collect all of this data and create a full 3D beating heart video of your beating heart. Nate Dog Revolution says, such a big-brained answer. The last thing I did for the first time was use croissant to complete an ice cream sandwich. Ah, well, if you got leftover croissant, that's a good idea. Ty Rogers, Mr. Anon supporter, says, Jeff, are you still pro an all-white majority civilization? Do you not see this as a form of eugenics, actively choosing who to let into a country? Well, I've never really wanted to change. I don't want to say I'm going to take a country and make it white. That's never been my idea. My idea has always been, I have a preference for living among European people, and I'm going to enact that preference by moving to an area where there's European people. And my idea has always been withdrawal and reconcentration toward higher northern parts. And so it's a misconception that I've ever said or thought or implied that I wanted to change a non-white society into a white one. I've never wanted that. I've never thought it was possible to do that. What I think is possible is to use the forces of nature to work on your side. And for example, moving to Alaska is possible. Now, nature, while you may not be able to engineer a society, you can choose to live in a place where nature will do the job. And the cold of Alaska does quite well at letting mostly white people be interested at living there. So that's always been my position. I've never suggested a re-engineering of society. Now, we could have not adopted the immigration laws we've adopted. We could have not allowed illegal immigration to the extent it was allowed in the last 40 years. But those are things we may not have done. As far as the things we could do, I don't think it's possible to take a whole continent or a whole section of a continent and say, you guys are all out. Like, okay, you know, show me how it's done. I'll be impressed if you can pull this. But that sounds like a very bloodshedy way to accomplish your goal, especially given that no matter who you push out are going to come back. What you really need to do, if you want to be clever about it, is choose a place of living where that won't ever happen. And to me, it is going north. Just go north. Sweden has never been invaded by forces coming from the centers of equatorial civilization. It's only been allowed recently by planes and heating. But those places are places where the nature is working with you. So you don't need eugenics. You don't need a nationalist project. What you need is intelligence and understanding, how do I make nature work my way? Now, once you side with nature, amazing things become possible. Nate Dog Revolution says, is the Arkansas White Community Project and the pushback against it a proper litmus test for what we can expect when we try to create our own states? Definitely. I mean, litmus test. We've been having this again and again in the last 15 years. There will always be opposition to white people being conscious of their racial interest. So there will always be pushback. You know where there will not be pushback? There will not be pushback on there's too many white people in Alaska. That won't ever happen because no one gives a shit about Alaska. And the day they do give a shit and perhaps UBI gets so bad and heating gets so cheap that everyone can live in Alaska, then move north, more north. Move until you reach Russia, really. And worst case scenario, you're going to live in Russia at some point. But we need to learn to use this strength of nature on our side. Half of Gen Z are bringing their parents to job interviews, according to a survey. 80% said that their parents have communicated with their manager at least once. Over 50% of college-age job seekers had their parents sit with them at an in-person interview, a January survey by Resume Templates found. What's more, over 35% of surveyed individuals reported parents either writing a cover letter or performing a test assignment for them. Bro, the Gen Z, they don't have the degree of independence that we had from our parents. Brack here sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, have you dropped any mad bags recently? Let me know if I missed any videos. I'm a premium subscriber, so if it's paywalled, I should be able to access it regardless. Well, I did an episode on using Grok Heavy to do math. So go check that episode about 2 weeks ago. Or maybe 1 week ago, I don't remember. Using Grok Heavy to do math. And you're going to see me explore various things with Grok Heavy on the Zeta function. Now, Breck here, I'm working on math every day. And I might be dropping for you and for the whole world. I might be dropping the math bag of the century. And maybe the math bag of the millennia. Because Grok has allowed me to advance on two conjectures, the Goldbach conjecture and the twin prime conjecture. And I'm doing my verifications right now, doing my writing. Maybe if everything is right, Brack here, I will be dropping the biggest math bag in history for you. But I need about maybe 2 weeks of work with Grok still to verify some of its conclusions. I need to do double checks. But if we're not at a proof of these conjectures, we are so close. So close. But I need 2 weeks to think through. There's a lot of details. There's a lot of details to take into account before you can affirm that this is flawless, that this is true, that this is purely analytical. But Grok, whether it turns out to be true, what Grok gave me up to now, I can certainly say that Grok allowed me massive advances that I couldn't have been able to do with a human brain alone. We went back to some of my work. You know what, Brack here? One of the mad bag that I had promised you was the twin prime conjecture exact function. I have it. Me and Grok, about a week ago, so I was realizing that Grok was making massive advance in understanding my gamma he function. And I threw the idea at him. I said, I remember calculating the beta x function and being able to derive a fully exact twin prime count sieve. And I remember it was this and I was doing that. And Grok just poof, in a click of the fingers, Grok was able to rederive something that was in my memory that I had promised to you, Brack here. That I had promised to you like 5 years ago, and that I wasn't able to deliver because I tried doing it live and my brain bugged because it was too complicated. So let me drop the mad bag right here for you, Brack here. Theorem 8. Let me just align the image here. Where is theorem 8? Okay, Brack here. I'm dropping a mud bag on demand. I have been able to derive with Grok an equivalent of my Goldbeck conjecture exact function, gamma E. I've been able to derive beta X. And beta X provides an exact count of the twin prime pairs. I'm going to try to align the PDF more. The beta X function, ladies and gentlemen, you start counting the twin primes below the square root of X, and then you sum over epsilon, which is the disjoint second order sieve of all the primes below the square root of X, and then you calculate K. K is basically the size of your sieve, x minus 1 divided by 6, floored, plus m minus lambda being the first encounter of the paired disjunct event of the primes on one side and the primes on the other. This has been computationally verified. This is exact. This is a count, an exact count of the twin primes below X. Now, this is not the first sieve that is applied to twin primes. There are precedents, but I have derived the natural form of the beta function. Now, the natural form is fully derived in terms of its inverse modular properties, mod PR, mod PL, and I have the complete computational scripts to be able to check that, yes, this is always true. Now, the natural form of the beta function gives an exact count of twin primes below X. And it includes a second-order Euler product, just like my Goldbeck paper, multiplied by the sieving space, small correction term, the pre-made count of small twin prime pairs and the sieve over the square root of x to x space. And Brack here has sent $50. You're amazing. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the generous donation. Now we can derive the natural form of this is. I'm so relieved because back in the days, Brack here had sent something like $200 in exchange of this equation. And I couldn't deliver it in full because there was an error at the end. Well, there you go. Grok has allowed me to relay it out properly. Starting from the lambda form, we can derive this natural form. So the goal here is to take out the floor. So you can reduce the lambda form to this. You take out the floor by subtracting the mod. You end up with the natural form, just like I've done in my already published Goldbeck paper. The natural form looks like this at first. You can regroup the terms with the definition of KL, K plus, which replace lambda. So fully computable in a relationship of mod inverses and mod relationships. Look, I need work to clean this up, Brack here. I hope that you're going to be forgiving to me. I need 2 weeks before I can publish this in its final form. And I've developed an iterative form, and I've developed an indicator function form of it that I hope will ease a proof of the Goldbeck conjecture and the twin prime conjecture. But I need 2 weeks to really work it out. But as you can see, as I promised to you, Brack, here, years ago, the count of Twin Prime is fully independently produced by a Euler term. A Euler term, a finite product with corrections from modular terms. And this is an exact count. And Brakeer, if you want it, I will not release it publicly, but if you, because you have given so much so generously, if you want it, Brakeer, I will hand you right now, in advance of my publication, I will hand you the Python script that does the full computation of beta x. But you have to contact me in DM if you want this. He says in a super chat, as Jesse Lee Peterson would say, amazing! Yes, it is amazing. It is amazing. It's thanks to Grok, I've been able, because I'm getting old, and the beta x function, I created it in 2015. That's now 11 years ago. And I abandoned it, and I lost the notebook that was having it. And I just remembered the three important steps to get there. Like, JF, never forget this. Alternated, numerator 2, cross sums, cross corrections on modulars. And I just said this to Grok, and then I showed Grok my Goldbeck conjecture paper. And I said, can you make the link here? I know that I've reached the Goldbeck answer with exactly this mindset. Can you apply this to twin primes? And Grok just, poof, dropped the beta x natural form. I mean, it is... I was never able to recover this. It's public because Brakeer paid me to recover it, and I failed to recover it in a show about 6 years ago. And Brakeer was throwing me hundreds of dollars. Well, I have your final form, Brakeer. 6 years later, the beta x function is an exact count of twin primes. Fully derived, fully true, and fully, hopefully, boundable. And I have the Python script that does it. I'm the only one in the world who has it. If you want it, Brakeer, you are the second person in the world who can have it. Brakeer sends a super chat. He says, does this lean in the direction of providing the conjecture or disapproving it? We are in the direction of proving it, absolutely. And I can't say for sure that my checks are going to be fine in the next 2 weeks, as I need Grok to explain to me, what about this step? Are you maybe you're wrong there? Maybe you're wrong there. And I have to do extensive literature review, because I find that so much of what Grok feeds me comes from other sources, and I certainly don't want to. I don't want to steal work from using Grok. But what seems to be the case is that all of these literature sources are all weak for one aspect or another, whereas my beta function appears to be the key to isolating a form that makes it analytically provable. So no, we're not going to find counterexamples to Goldbeck or twin primes. That we knew, basically, we knew. Because you can see, if you explore in the 1 million range, just the Goldbeck pairs, they are totally bounded by the law. But it's always been the problem of finding an fully analytic bound that does not rely on asymptotics. And I hope that this form will allow us to find this. I think it will. Jackie Chan sends $10. He says, I have a theory how LLM use will impact schools. I think the institutions will just do nothing and continue as normal. Students will just cheat. Teachers will just ignore grades. Nothing will happen. Well, that's a very dark possible future. I think you may be right. My hope is that actually this technology will eradicate school. Just no more public school. No more use of the public school as a side socialization opportunity for young people, because that's what it is at this point. They are just using school as, oh, well, it's going to be good for socializing your children. Well, there's much more high social opportunities, higher quality social opportunities that exist out there. If you can have groups of friends, family members, where people are respectful, at least you're not going to be raising your child into a bad direction through horizontal cultural influence. Breck here says, I messaged you on the bird site. All right, Breck here, I will deliver what I promised to you 6 years ago, later tonight, right after the show. So that's it for tonight. Thank you very much for joining me, and I will see you all tomorrow.